So as we begin our meditation time, just allow the vibration of the gong to call us into a deeper connection to our innermost self. And so let us begin by simply becoming connected to this moment. And so feel yourself supported by your chair. Feel yourself here in an energetic field. As we begin to align ourselves with a deeper vibration of our innermost self, we naturally bring ourselves into a greater experience of awareness. And so we're going to move today beyond our thoughts, beyond the cares of this world, and simply allow our attention to settle upon our experience in this moment, in this field. So let's begin to create an enhancement of this field that we're in by filling it with the felt sense of appreciation. And as you bring into your awareness someone or something that you appreciate, just allow yourself to experience that appreciation. Not by thinking, but by just feeling. Feeling into this moment. Allowing the moment, the music, the sound of my voice, the experience of being together as a community, just noticing and allowing our awareness to begin to unhook itself from all the cares of our world, all the concerns that await us. And simply take the time needed to reconnect with that part of ourself that is Source. Is wholeness. His presence. And as we give ourselves to this experience of simply allowing our awareness to journey deeper into the sure and certain knowing of the one life that lives and breathes through each one of us, and the intelligence that this one life is unto us, a source of guidance, understanding. A source of being beyond any limits or any doubt, connecting with a sense of confidence and strength the knowing that no matter what is happening on the surface of life, there is a wellspring that runs deep within our being, from which we can draw whatever is needed and necessary. And so in a moment, we'll enter into the silence together. And so before we leave our thinking mind, let us just open ourselves to the awareness of something that is needed. Something that we wish to connect to that brings us into a greater expression of who we are, whether it be confidence or understanding or love or the awareness of our purpose. Open yourself to that question that is calling you by name in the silence. Breathe in and release. And so as we bring our attention back to this time and this place, let us carry with us that depth of connection to that part of ourself that is the truth of us. That which God has made, that part of us that is source unto our life, the wellspring of our sense of more than enough. And whatever was that needed thing, we give thanks in advance that it is making its way into our consciousness, and that we already feel the great caring that comes as we know that with God all things are possible. And as we make our way back to this moment, we give thanks also for this community, for what we create together as this field into which we can bring our cares and our concerns and take from it a greater sense of grace and understanding and peace. And for this we are grateful. Thank you, God. And so it is. Amen.
And today we have Steve on the drums, and Julie has joined the choir, and we are being especially blessed by our music team. This morning we're continuing in a series that whenever I'm speaking, I will be speaking on one of the 12 powers. Last week, if you remember, we did faith. We were dancing to the melody of the future. Yes? Today we're talking about strength. So the 12 powers, Unity's co-founder Charles Fillmore did a lot of work around this, about looking at the powers that we have within us and finding those powers, utilizing them in our daily life. So here's all 12, and we'll be talking about a different one each time. Today we're doing strength, and the talk is Taking the World by Calm. This was a really good talk for me to write this week. Because I got to tell you, I'm not a calm person, you know. I don't know if you noticed that about me. Yes, Gary. Gary will. He'll tell it like it is there. That's right. He's the calm one in the family. But especially if I see things that really that I don't like. I'll just put it that way. Yes, triggering me. I'll have my explosion. Now, he'll always be that calm presence. He'll help me get there. But at first, he's got to listen to me rant and rave like a wild woman. Yes. So it's good for me to be learning this stuff. I'm learning along with all of us, taking the world by calm. There was once a Zen master who met with a famous Chinese statesman. And the man asked him, what is the deep meaning of Buddhism? What's the deepest meaning of Buddhism? And he said, don't do anything evil and do only good. So the statesman was very unimpressed by his answer. He said, you know, even a three-year-old could say this. So he answered, we all know what he's going to say. Maybe a three-year-old can say it. Can an 80-year-old do it? Can we do it? You know, we can spout this stuff all we want. Spiritual truth is very simple, but is it easy, always easy, to put into practice? No, it is not. It takes spiritual strength to bring it forth, to stay on that path, that track, on the spiritual path. The faculty of strength is defined in this way, the capacity to stand undaunted in the midst of shifting circumstances, undaunted, to act courageously and stay the course. And I would add that we do it in a peaceful, compassionate manner. You know, it's not just about sticking with it. It's about having our heart opened and doing it in a loving way. It takes way more strength to be in that peaceful place, doesn't it? When someone has hurt you in some way, you're triggered in some way, it takes a whole lot more strength to stay rooted in that than it does to lash out, you know? Like everything in us wants to retaliate. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you know this energy I'm talking about? It's not just me. Good. And so that is what it's about. It's about having that spiritual strength that when we are in the midst of being triggered in some way, some conflict, that we're able to stay connected to who we are and stay in that peaceful place. The Buddha said, one who conquers himself is greater than another who conquers 1,000 times 1,000 men on the battlefield. When you attain victory over yourself, not even the gods can turn it into defeat. Gaining victory over ourselves. And then I've heard it in this sort of more contemporary way of saying it. Anyone can slay a dragon, but try waking up every morning and loving the world all over again. That's what it takes to be a real hero, it says. Right? We can all conquer those dragons. But wow, it takes spiritual strength to stay the course and to continue loving the world all over again. Because when we do that, we are not being run by conditioned behavior. And that's what self-mastery is. It's the path to our greater, more authentic selves, who we've come here to be. And strength is that pathway. And normally we think of strength as muscle building, right? Physical strength. But I have to tell you something. When I trained in the martial arts, I learned something very early on. And that was that I could in no way use my little bit of physical strength with an opponent who was twice my size. And I often would find myself in that situation. We had a self-defense team, actually, a demo team. And we used to go out and demonstrate doing self-defense. And I always seemed to get the middle piece with all these huge hulking guys coming running at me, and I had to throw them all over the place. And I loved it. I did. That was my favorite part of training. And the crowd would go wild. They would cheer. They just loved watching it. It was funny. But I learned something that you cannot, if you push against someone who's pushing against you, what happens? You know, we just strengthen the opponent's stance, don't we? They get just as rooted in their way of looking at it. You know, and this is in the martial arts, but we can think of it in many other ways. It happens to us in life. Have you ever been on the opposite side of a an issue with someone? Has that happened lately in your life? And what happens if you lash out at that person? They do. What if you tell somebody they're stupid? They're wrong. They're wrong.
Yeah,
they're that's right. Because both sides thinks the same thing. The other side's wrong. In fact, delusional. That's the thought. And the more we fight against it, do we create any kind of connection, any kind of intimacy? No, we do not. And so it just strengthens the attacker. So these qualities of gentleness, flexibility, confidence, you know, all those things are part of spiritual strength. It's a true measure, in fact, of our spiritual strength. Flexibility, for instance. Now, you know, the tree that bends in the storm is the one that is the strongest, that will grow, that will continue to grow. But that doesn't mean that we become doormats or that we allow any kind of abusive behavior into our lives. Are you hearing me on this? Yes. Spiritual strength does not mean that we just sit there and we're a punching bag. No. Sometimes it takes more strength to say no to something that no longer belongs in our life and move away from it. But again, it's about with doing it in a peaceful, compassionate way. That's the difference. When we can rise to that place of being loving and compassionate while we're saying no, that takes strength. Instead of an us and them reactive lashing out. Do you see the difference? Really. The disciple Andrew represents faith, and Andrew and Peter were brothers. And Peter, if you remember, Andrew and Peter were brothers, and Peter, if you remember, represented faith. So Andrew and Peter, they're brothers, faith and strength. What this means metaphysically is that strength and faith are related. See, they're connected. Now, all of these powers are connected. But strength and faith, think about that together. In the ups and downs of our lives, we can meet those times of turmoil with faith and strength. A belief that the source of all power is within us, spirit, there's our faith, married with the perseverance to see it through, see, to keep walking the talk, even when it seems like it's not happening the way we want. Because it's the spirit within that gives us the strength. Do you see? This is the thing. It's not about our human strength. It's not about pushing the river or making something happen. It's about going to that place where the true strength lies, the true power, and allowing it to come forth. That's the difference. There's a quietness here, an inner confidence, poise, patience. Patience is part of this. I read a prayer for patience that goes like this: God, please give me patience right now. You ever felt that way? Right now. So patience is a calm, centered endurance. It's persistence, tenacity, courage. Arnold Glasgow said, "The key to everything is patience. You get the chicken by hatching the egg, not by smashing it." See? And it's true. It takes a lot of strength to remain calm and peaceful in the face of upheaval and turmoil and to not smash the egg. To have the gentleness to let it hatch. So patience, I've seen it defined as a quality you admire in the driver behind you but scorn in the one ahead of you. And how many of you, when you're driving, have your patience tested? Anyone? Yes. I read the story of a man whose car stalled just as the light turned green. And it was in the middle of heavy traffic. It was a Friday evening, just tons of cars everywhere. And no way that car was going to start again. He was trying and trying. He could hear the the chorus of horns begin to beep behind him, and he finally gets out of the car and, exasperated, goes to the car behind him, and he says, "I'm sorry, I can't seem to get my car started. If you want to go try, I'll sit here and beep the horn for you." So what happens at a green light if you don't move right away? Move! Move! And yet, impatience, does it ever help us get there faster? It does not. You heard Ruth talking about that very thing when she did her spiritual life hack. You know, it doesn't make, it has the opposite effect, doesn't it? Instead, we get upset, we get uptight, you know, we struggle to make things work. And the more we do that, the more difficult they become. Remaining calm, getting still long enough to let spirit move can have nothing short of miraculous results. Really. Because no matter what the outer turmoil may be, the eye of the storm is within us. When we call on that power, that guidance is now accessible to us. You see? It can come forth. And we can be at peace while this is happening. We have the ability. We have the choice. I was telling myself this all week as I was flying off the handle at whatever news I was seeing. I have the choice. I have the ability. I'm going to let that egg hatch. You know, all this. Because it's through our power of strength that we do that. The New Thought teacher Ernest Holmes writes, "There are no enemies external to our own mind." There are no enemies external to our own mind. You know, we know this in unity. What do we say together every week? There's only one presence, one power, only one. There's only one. Nothing and no one is against us, right? For all the fighting and resisting we do, it's only ourselves that we work against. I hate that. So it makes sense to allow the flow of spirit to move through every situation, doesn't it? Bringing peace and harmony where there was discord. You know? And it's through a surrendering to a higher source. Now, the word surrender, you know, it's got a bad reputation. We think of defeat, weakness, giving up. No, no, no. It's surrendering to the greater mind, surrendering to the higher power, and allowing that strength to rise up, to move through us. There's a story from the book The Quest that illustrates this. A story about an army of land crabs. They're on the move. They're heading for the beach. In order to get there, they have to cross a road a certain time of the year. So you can imagine driving on that road what it was like, right? Now, it wouldn't be a problem if the crabs would just stay where they were. You could maneuver around them, but they never would. As the car approached, they would rise up to the very height of the car bumper. And that was the end of the crabs. Bang. It was their downfall. They would threaten the car bumper. Now, there were seagulls on that same road, and they were behaving much differently. They were enjoying the crab fest that was presented to them. Yes, enjoying that very much. But whenever a car approached, they would just move out of the way. Car would leave, back down again. They surrendered to the problem and, in fact, rose above it. Now, does that mean that we fly away from our problems or we run away? No, it does not. It does not. But it does mean that when we fight something, we only strengthen the opponent, we start threatening car bumpers, we are sure to lose. We are sure to lose. Instead, we want to soar above the problem. We want to see it from a wider perspective, you see? And we get that perspective as we surrender to the greater mind and allow it to guide us. And there's a really good reason why we do that. Marianne Williamson says it this way: there are two things to always remember. The first is God's plan works. We need to remember that. We need to trust in that power, that what's coming forth is the guidance we need. The second thing is yours doesn't. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not intelligent or that we can't take care of ourselves, but it means by surrendering to the greater mind within us, we're guided and directed through any experience, and it goes beyond what we can imagine in our minds. Do you see? Something greater can happen. We open ourselves to that possibility, but it all comes to do with surrendering. Surrendering to the divine presence within us. We can remain totally at peace when that happens. Nothing in the world can possibly disturb you when you know who you are. When you are centered in that knowingness of who you've come here to be, nothing can disturb the peace, the calm and peace of your soul. Nothing. But what does it mean to surrender? It means surrendering the need to be right, surrendering the need to judge, surrendering the fear that's behind the judgment. I mean, have you ever needed to be right? But here's the problem. When we see an us and them, and we need to be right, both sides think they're right. That's right. Both sides think they're right. And really do think they're right. And whereas one's wrong. You see, we know who's wrong, don't we? And we can be very vocal about that. But the Course in Miracles asks the question, would you rather be right or happy? Most of us would rather be right. I'd rather be both. That's my choice. And the two don't need to be mutually exclusive, but we need to look at what is most important to us. And sometimes it takes all of our inner strength to deal with the daily turmoil that surrounds us. You know what I'm talking about? Just to read the latest on our Facebook news feed. Just to make it through the day. We can go out and slay those dragons, but to wake up every day and love the world, that's heroic. There's a story told about Mother Teresa, who was speaking to some wealthy women who had gathered to support her work. And her question to them was, are your families in harmony at home? What is your relationship? How is your relationship with your children? And so these women looked around sort of helplessly at each other and discovered that being in harmony with your family can be more difficult and more work than helping the dying in Calcutta. See? So her point, it can be easier to march for peace than to maintain a peaceful household or a peaceful interstate. Do you know what I'm talking about here?
Yeah.
Yes. It all starts here. This is where the work begins, right here. And then unimaginable things can happen. The poet Mary Oliver said, keep some room in your heart for the unimaginable. Keep that space open. Give spirit room to move and prepare to be amazed by it. Think of all the people that have endured and overcome obstacles in their lives. Did you know that Michael Jordan was cut from his high school basketball team? Wayne Gretzky, everybody knows who Wayne Gretzky is, right? This is my Canadian self coming out here. He was told at the age of 17 that he weighed too little to be a pro hockey player and that he would never survive on the rink. How many of you have seen the movie Hidden Figures? Oh, you've got to go see that movie. The story of three African-American women in the 60s who did amazing work for NASA and what they had to overcome on their journeys. What an inspiring story that is. The entire theater broke out in applause at the end of that movie. That movie demonstrates spiritual strength? No question. Dr. Seuss's first book was rejected by 27 publishers before the 28th finally accepted it. Walt Disney was fired for not having an imagination. And my personal favorite, in 1905, the University of Bern turned down a doctoral dissertation as being irrelevant and fanciful by a young man named Albert Einstein. That's right. Now imagine if all those people had stopped, had let this stop them. Just imagine. But they didn't. They had the spiritual strength to keep on going. The highly successful businesswoman Mary Kay said, "One of the secrets of success is to refuse to let temporary setbacks defeat us." And that's what spiritual strength does for us. It's the endurance, the patience, the calmness to help us keep on going even in the face of adversity. And I love Thomas Edison, you know, trying to make the light bulb hundreds and hundreds of times, finally being successful and saying, "I couldn't help but succeed. I ran out of things that don't work." So let's think of it that way. We're running out of things that don't work in trying to create peace on our planet, so we are that close to making it happen, right? Right. When you put faith in your own success and marry it with spiritual strength of spirit to see it through, get ready to watch mountains move. Get ready. So where in your life are you letting a temporary setback defeat you? Is there a place? How about places where you're trying to force things to happen? You know, trying to impatiently make something work, pushing the river, trying to fit a round piece in a square opening. Are you ready for a different way?
Yes.
Yes. Power versus Force, the David Hawkins book. When he talks about force, he's not talking about the force be with you. He's talking about forcing and how power and force, we want to tap into that power. Never mind trying to force things. Tap into the power. That's how it happens. And that's not to say we don't take action. We do. Compassionate action. But we let the power of God move through us. That's an evolution revolution. It's happening. Can you feel that? Really, I mean, really feel it. It's happening, and we're all a part of it. You get into the flow, and you allow spirit to do the heavy lifting. That's the secret of it. I love that. And keep some room in your heart for the unimaginable. So A Course in Miracles says, truth does not battle with illusions. Illusions battle only with themselves. I think that's maybe my favorite line from the whole thing. When we take time to enter the silence, we draw on this unlimited power within. We go beyond the illusion, beyond the perceived limits. And this is a heart teaching, you know? Because what does our head say? Yeah. But the heart knows. Work with the heart. Jean Houston, the futurist, reminds us, we all have the extraordinary coded within us waiting to be released. Every one of you has the extraordinary coded within you, ready to be released. And it's through the calling on this power that happens. There's vast strength within that has not been used. Our potential, this much. Woo! I mean, have you ever been surprised by what you did? Who knew? Who knew I could do that? It all begins in the silence. So nothing can disturb the calm depths of our soul when we are focused on spirit and as we follow this inner passageway to the still, small voice, the place of the secret place of the Most High. That inner passageway leads us to our deeper, greater self, a deeper dimension of who we are, the Christ in expression. We find it. We find it. And it's there. Meditation is the passageway that can lead us to serenity and peace. We gain unimaginable strength from opening the door to spirit and allowing its flow to move. When we do that, we have access to the power of God Isn't that cool? I mean, that's how it works. Amazing things can happen when we get into that flow. And especially if we do things as a group, you know, set a group intention, get together and really focus on that intention, call on the power of spirit together. That's how mountains get moved. And make no mistake of the power of a group of people to make a difference in the world. Really. I'll talk more about that on my next talk on the power of love in February, of course. What else would you talk about? And I'll be sharing opportunities for you in the upcoming weeks of how we might join together as a group and bring forth the power of spirit. So stay tuned. In the meantime, here's some questions you might want to ponder. This is for our spirit group folks, but it's for all of us. What's one area in your life you have been trying to force something to happen? Something to think about. And this can be an either or. Or where have you let a temporary setback be a defeat for you? Is there something like that going on in your life? Then number three, as you consult your heart, leaving room for the unimaginable, what thoughts, what actions could demonstrate the power of strength in either of these two arenas? And this week, you get a bonus question. In today's divisive and polarized political climate, what is one way you can use your spiritual faculty of strength to help heal the divide? Do you feel the enormity of that? That's the question we want to ask ourselves. The world needs every single one of us to step up, to rise above the illusion, to move beyond the polarity, beyond the divisiveness. We do that by healing our own hearts of an internal divide. That's how we do it. And in so doing, we widen our scope of compassion. We gain access to the mighty power within us. And that is a force to be reckoned with. And so it is.